Did you guys finish?
Senator Pogerbiller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and a sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Monsignor James D. Habiger from the University of St. Thomas. In Mendota Heights. Some of them.
We stand before you this morning, gift-giving God, conscious of our shortcomings, but aware that we gather in your name, Emmanuel, God with us. Enlighten our minds, inflame our hearts. Give us light and strength to know your will, to make it our own, and to live it in our lives. Guide us by your wisdom as we address the important work that is before us. You desire justice for all your children. Let us uphold the rights of all your people. Do not allow us to be misled by ignorance or corrupted by fear or favor. Unite us to yourself in the bond of love and keep us ever faithful to all that is true. Amen.
Thank you. Have a good day. Where are you going tonight now, Mancini? Secretary, we'll take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fishbach, Fulby, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Keelash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Lori, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parisot, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Ress, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, and Wieger.
Quorum is present. And I think we'll go a little bit. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate files herewith transmitted. Senate file numbers 265 and 757, signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House. And Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House file numbers 936 and 1209, signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
The next order of business is first reading of House bills. On today's agenda, they'll be referred to the committees as indicated. Next order of business is reports of committees. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Next order of business, second reading of Senate bills. There are two printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. Next order of business is second reading of House bills. There are three printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of House bills. Next order of business is introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There are two to be read at the desk.
Senators Tomasoni, Dibble, Saxog, and Sparks introduce Senate file number 2081, a bill for inoculating the state government, appropriating money for economic development and housing, etc.
Be referred to the Finance Committee.
And Senator Betzold introduces Senate File 2082, a bill for an act relating to government operations, modifying provisions for general legislative and administrative expenses of state government.
Referred to the Finance Committee. First reading of Senate bills. There's motions and resolutions. There are three authors' motions. Without objection, we'll take them as one motion. And we're striking the Bonif motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Next are resolutions printed on today's agenda. There are three of them. Without objection, they'll be sent to the Rules Committee. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, under motions, I'd move that we take up the general orders calendar first.
Okay, on the motion to proceed to the general orders calendar. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Senator Mr. President, Pogemiller. I move that the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for purpose of taking up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman, there's a list of, looks like, six bills, number 62, number 71, number 60, number 89, and 101, and 106. I'd like to designate those as general orders. And I believe yield to perhaps Senator Phoebe, Senator Torres Ray first.
Senator, first bill on general orders we'll consider this morning will be number 101 on general orders, Senate File 1797, Senator Torres Ray. Does she have to make a...
So much. Thank you, Mr. President. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1797 be recommended to pass.
Okay, Senator, a description of your bill.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. Senate File 1797 requires that the State Advisory Council on Early Childhood Education and Care will develop an inventory of early childhood services available statewide. The inventory will be used to guide legislative proposals and must be updated every biennium. Mr. President and members, the intent here is to really create an instrument that we can use in the future to inform our decisions about early childhood education. So hopefully we will have a comprehensive inventory of services that are currently available to young children, and we will be able to see where the state has gaps and where we need to act and how do we need to enhance current programs that are available to young children in the state of Minnesota.
Well, that's good. Any further discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Michelle.
Would Senator Torres Ray yield for a question?
She will yield, Senator Michelle.
Thank you. Senator, I just wanted to be clear. Are you talking about the ECAC is the acronym for the Early Childhood Advisory Council that was just put together, appointed by the governor? So you're asking that group to come up with this list? Am I getting that right?
Mr. President, Senator Michelle, Senator. That is correct. They are currently working on something similar, but the intent here is to make something really practical, and we've talked about a model that was implemented in New Mexico where we basically have, you know, a six-page document that is simple. It lists the programs, and it tells us, you know, what budget goes to it, what agency is responsible for that, so that we will be able to use this instrument for future decisions.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Torres Ray renews her motion that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 1797 be recommended to pass.
Mr. President.
Signify President. By saying Senator Stubb.
Mr. President, I thank you, and Senator Torres Ray. I'm sorry, I don't have my computer to look up this, but was this in the Education Committee?
Senator Torres Ray.
Mr. President and Senator Stumpf, it wasn't. And the reason it wasn't is because originally this particular bill had language that instructed the Department of Human Services to do that. And so it was heard in our Health, Housing, and Family Security. And then it was amended because the departments told us that we already have a council in place that is doing this work, and it would make sense that we assign the council rather than assigning a state agency, because there will be a fiscal note, an additional fiscal note, if we add an additional responsibility to either human services and education. And since both departments are right now represented in the council, maybe it was the best thing to assign the council to do that, since they were already working on it. So that's the reason it didn't make it to the Education Committee.
Senator Mr. President, Senator, Senator Torres-Ray, would it be possible just to kind of lay your bill over for just a progress it for just a few minutes until we can get I can get some language and look at it?
Absolutely, Mr. President. So I will request that this bill will be progressed.
Progress is granted. Senator.
Thank you.
Phoebe, are you ready? Senator Phoebe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate file number 1467 be recommended to pass.
Okay, Senator Phoebe, explain to the body what the bill does.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. First of all, this is a bill coming to you today that my predecessor, Senator Betsy Wergen, worked on quite a bit when she was here in the body. The primary purpose of the bill is to implement the recommendations of a task force that was created by the 2008 legislature to study speed limits on local roads. This bill specifically addresses appropriate speed limits in rural residential areas and will do so in a consistent manner throughout the state. Under current law, the term rural residential district within a city is a misnomer, and by current Minnesota statute definition, a rural residential district can only occur in a township, and speeds in those townships for a rural residential district are currently 30 miles per hour. Contrast that with cities like Elk River, Ramsey, Andover, East Bethel, Otsego, that may have some of the same characteristics of a township, where the speeds in their rural districts are currently 55 miles per hour by statute. This bill will now allow cities to post speeds in those qualifying rural residential districts at 35 miles per hour. The task force that was created by the legislature to study this issue included representatives from cities, counties, and MnDOT. The task force received input from engineers and law enforcement throughout the state, studied the issues, and provided appropriate solutions that will remedy the current void in the statutes that currently allow for unsafe speeds. Throughout the Senate and House committee processes, input was received by townships and other organizations that has been included in the bill to avoid potential undesirable outcomes by implementation of this bill. At the Senate transportation hearing, cities, townships, counties, MnDOT, and law enforcement all supported the final version of this bill. The bill focuses on one of the primary roles of government, and that's the safety of its citizens. I ask for the members of the Senate to vote yes on Senate File 1467. Thank you.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Phoebe renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1467 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Next bill on general orders is number 106 on general orders, Senate File 567, Senator Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File number 567 be recommended to pass.
Senator Saltzman, a description of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. President, Chair. You know, for those of us who have lost a loved one to sudden cardiac arrest, we understand the importance of having people trained who are not just in our hospitals, but are in our communities and have the ability to recognize signs and symptoms of a heart attack or sudden arrest, and also being trained and knowing what to do in terms of doing CPR and also using AEDs, which are in more community areas. This bill encourages our schools to teach CPR and AED management. It is not a mandate, but it does require them that when they do teach it, to be able to use the standards that have been set by both the American Red Cross and also American Heart Association. On your desk today is a story of a constituent of mine who was a young mother who had a sudden cardiac arrest while she was a teacher at a school in St. Paul. And because people were trained and knew what to do and how to use an AED, she's with us today. And that may not have been possible if we didn't have the public trained in that. So I urge your support for this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion on Senate File 567. Seeing none, Senator Saltzman renews her motion that Senate File 567 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next bill on general orders, number 60 on general orders, Senate File 245, Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 245 be recommended to pass.
Senator Berglund, description of your bill.
Mr. Chairman and members, Senate File 245 is a bill that will allow licensed acupuncturists who are practicing within their scope of practice to bill directly for their services when their services are covered by an insurance policy. Does not require acupuncture to be covered by insurance policies, but oftentimes it is one of the most cost-effective treatments. So when it is covered, or if it is covered, simply allows acupuncturists to bill directly just as other health professionals are able to do.
Further discussion? Senate File 245. See none. Senator Berglund renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 245 be recommended to pass. Yep. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next bill on general orders is number 71 on general orders, Senate File 1220, Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1220 be recommended to pass.
Senator Scheid on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, it's a pretty simple little bill. It has to do with compendia. And, of course, we don't use that word a lot, but a compendia means kind of a collection of, well, this has to do with references, so it's a collection of references. And this has to do with drug information, treatment information that states use to analyze what a drug can be used for. I happen to take a drug like this that wasn't approved for the particular kind of cancer I had, but it is something that's deemed effective for my health concern. This says that, well, let me just get my note out in front of me.
Save.
It's called off-label drug
Save.
Use.
Senator Scheid.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. I had a piece of paper on top of my note that I needed to be looking at. This relates to coverage for off-label drug use. That's when they use a drug for a purpose outside what it was approved for in the first place. I mean, the most common example of that is aspirin. Okay, we use it, we know it's for pain management, but people use it as a blood thinner or to take when you're thinking think you're having a heart attack. So that's exactly the kind of thing that this compendia lists. And so in the case of cancer care, off-label drug use, as I was saying, is fairly common and has been shown to be very effective for treating cancer patients. This updates our law to the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services for the standards for the use of these drugs. And so it just makes a simple change in the language says what standard reference compendia is, and then it also gives what's called an evergreen approach. In other words, as new compendia, new reference collections come forward, they can be adopted and used by our department. So that is what the bill does. It's pretty simple. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 1220? Seeing none, Senator Scheid renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1220 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The last bill on general orders, number 62 on general orders, Senate File 971, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 971 be recommended to pass.
Senator Dibble, an explanation of your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Senate File 971 would provide much-needed clarity to our school's anti-bullying, harassment, intimidation, and violence requirements. It assures that these behaviors, which amount to emotional and sometimes physical violence, are unacceptable when they're directed at any kid. Members and Mr. Chair, bullying is not a simple matter. It's not just boys will be boys or girls. This kind of aggressive behavior.
All right, come on. Here we go. Please, please, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, this kind of behavior is actually learned. We know that when left unchecked, these behaviors leave deep emotional scars. They have both immediate consequences on a child's development and ability to learn. The victims of bullying, especially those who never benefit from any adult intervention and support, far from being toughened up, are left to deal with lowered self-esteem, fear, anxiety, social isolation, failure to thrive, and failure to succeed academically. And we've seen far too often in the news, and we just got the news a few days ago about the tragedy in another state, that bullying has extremely devastating consequences sometimes for its victims. But it's important to understand, members, Mr. Chair, that everyone is harmed when this behavior goes unchecked. It's not just the victims, it's also the perpetrators, it's also those who are just bystanding and witnessing this. It needs to be very, very clear that this bill protects all kids. In a perfect world, we'd say no bullying against anyone, period, end of story. We wouldn't have to say anything more. But sadly, we don't live in a perfect world. The simple fact is that some kids suffer vastly disproportionate incidents of harassment, of slurs, of marginalization. And when we fail to spell out with specificity what we're talking about for those kids, the research shows us it's as if we don't even have a bullying policy on the books. They report the same levels of negative treatment at those schools that don't have a policy at all. We know that in Minnesota, about 80% of schools don't prohibit harassment on the basis of national origin or disability, and for many other reasons that kids are singled out. Fully 93% of schools don't do so on the basis of sexual orientation. At the same time, those schools do explicitly prohibit on the basis of race, religion, and gender, which is what one section of statute tells them to do, which is good. That's great. But the statute is confusing, and it's chopped up into different places. Not too surprisingly, a survey of school climate shows that kids, especially some kids, gay kids, disabled kids, kids with distinguishing physical characteristics, foreign-born, are experiencing far too high levels of bullying, harassment, and intimidation. Like I said earlier, the law is bifurcated, it's confusing, it gives rise to differing sorts of policies that school boards adopt. Administrators and teachers are telling us that this leads to confusion and ambiguity. By modifying the existing ambiguous statutes, we solve a lot of those problems. We provide the much-needed clarity. And faculty in particular have articulated the need to be supported by the law and by school district policy when they intervene on behalf of kids who come from marginalized communities. And members, I just want to conclude by making sure that we keep in mind the kids. We heard from Andy Berlin in our committees, and he was brave enough to write in the paper about his experience. Andy was hospitalized as a result of the treatment that he was receiving. Thankfully, he was accepted into the Perpich Center. He's thriving now, and they're a shining example of the success that a school can have in responding. I got an email from a parent up in the Chisago Lakes Middle School, Lindstrom, who tells us that her son had his jaw broken because other kids were harassing him and committing violence against him. She pulled her son out of the local school system. He attends an internet school at home but misses the social interaction and the sports. She feels like he's been robbed of his golden years. We got an email from an uncle in Roseville. 2.5 years ago, his nephew committed suicide as a result of bullying. He says he doesn't understand those who say that the victims need to be more resilient or that dealing with bullying is just a part of growing up. It's just another way of blaming the victim. We don't tolerate this kind of behavior from adults, so why do we think it's okay to tolerate it from kids? And finally, Mr. Chair and members, you might have seen on the news about Carl Walker Hoover, who was an 11th grader in the fourth grade in Illinois, who despite endless pleading from his mother trying to deal with the kind of bullying and harassment that he was receiving, she went repeatedly trying to get his issues addressed. He sadly took his own life. So this is a very serious issue. We have a law on the books, and for whatever reason, it just simply lacks the clarity and the follow-through that we need in our schools. This provides some simple clarification, and it's important for us to adopt this. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion, Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I impose a call to the Senate.
Yeah, we're in the committee of the whole, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then belay that order. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask the author a couple of questions, if I might.
You may ask the author a couple of questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Dibble, in your bill, you are deleting a couple of sections in law. One is Section 121A.0695, which is the requirement that school boards adopt a policy that says that each school board shall adopt a written policy prohibiting intimidation and bullying of any student. The policy shall address intimidation and bullying in all forms, including but not limited to electronic forms. And I'm wondering, what about that law that you object to that you need to repeal it in this bill? Why is that necessary to be repealed? It seems to me that that requirement for all schools to adopt policies would cover every form of bullying applying to any student. Why is that a bad thing that requires repeal?
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Hand. That's an excellent question. I don't object to that law. I like that law a lot. And in fact, we bring what we do, the effect of what my bill does is it simply brings the language of that law over and brings it in alignment with another law that, as I explained earlier, was creating confusion. On the one side, we had this policy that school boards were supposed to adopt, and on the other side, we had another policy that school boards were supposed to adopt, and they dealt with largely the same thing, and they were quite confusing. And just to be clear, of course, bullying, violence, intimidation, harassment should not be directed against any kid. And the language of the bill says, a school board must adopt a written policy that prohibits harassment, bullying, intimidation, hazing, and violence based on, but not limited to, the actual or perceived, and then it goes on to enumerate characteristics. So to be clear, and to allay any confusion on anyone's part in the chamber, bullying, violence, intimidation, harassment is not to be directed against any kid for any reason. It includes all kids. It does specifically call out those kids who receive a disproportionate amount of this treatment so that we're quite clear as we're communicating to teachers and those who have to enforce these policies exactly what we're talking about. But we're very clear that we're talking about all kids. And so thank you, Senator Hand. That was a good law. It just needed to be lined up in one spot in our statute books.
Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thanks, Senator Dibble. I think it is a good law, and it should not be repealed, as your bill does repeal it. And I'm not sure, I was in the committee and heard the testimony, and I think maybe I heard different testimony, because the testimony I heard from the School Board Association and the administrators was that the current law is not confusing at all. In fact, part of their argument was that the changes that you're proposing would, in fact, create more confusion and potentially lead to more litigation by putting into another statute an area of law where things are commonly found that are litigated and preserving the policy against bullying in the section of law that it currently is. So they were arguing that it's more confusing to do what you're doing and will lead to more problems in schools, and that the school administrators and the school board association says the current law is very understandable. In fact, the testimony we heard is that there is not a single school district in the state that does not have a policy that conforms to the existing law to prohibit bullying of any form against any student, that every school district has those policies. And so I guess I'm not clear on what your change does except to create confusion and to create possibilities for potential legal action where none currently exists. And I'm just unclear about why we need to make this change now. You list in your, you said in your argument that you're listing some things in this new section of law, and you list a few and you say, but not limited to, but there are things that are not listed on that list. And one of the questions I think that arises is if you're being intimidated or harassed or bullied for some other reason that's not on the list, are you then subject to perhaps not being protected under this new form of the law? The old form says everything. All things, all students, doesn't make any distinction. It seems to me that that's a far superior way to word this law. Is there a particular reason why those things were chosen and not other things that one could list?
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll try one more time. Senator Hahn. We do not repeal the language of the statute. We simply bring the language of the statute over to line up where we have another statute that calls for largely the same thing. So we clarify the statutes. And the simple fact of the matter is that if a school is doing a pretty good job of dealing with this sort of behavior, they have nothing to worry about in terms of lawsuits. That's entirely up to the school board and the school administrators and those responsible in those school buildings. The only time you risk a lawsuit is when you're not addressing the issues that need to be addressed. And so this, I would think, would provide more clarity. It's abundantly obvious from all of the conversation and all of the research that we did that there's a tremendous amount of confusion. Which law do we look to? Which policies do we adopt? Do we adopt both? Which apply in what circumstances? This simply takes the language of a very good law and puts it in another section of statute. There's no repeal here. And finally, once again, I will also say that this law covers all kids for any reason who might experience these sorts of behaviors. We, of course, call out those individual characteristics for which kids or who are perceived receive a far and away huge disproportionate amount of this sort of unwanted attention from their peers. But all kids are covered. The reason this is superior is because we know as well from the research that when we fail to enumerate, we simply fail to really have any decent policy on the books at all. Those kids where the policy is not specific enough report the same level of bullying as if there were no policy on the books at all.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I, Senator Dibble, I think from your comments, I think you're interpreting the current law as to not include the things that are listed. And I think that's false. I think it clearly does include all the things that you list. But I'm also curious to know where in statute is the definition of intimidation and harassment? Can you point us to the statute that defines what intimidation is? Mr. Chairman.
I think he's looking. Senator Hahn.
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to see if the author can point us to the part of the statute that defines the words intimidation and harassment. We do have in this new bill a definition of hazing, for which there is a prohibition, but I'm wondering where the definition for intimidation and harassment is that this bill refers to.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Senator Dibble.
You know, it's a plain reading of the law. We've had like I said, we've had this law on the books previously, and didn't seem to be too difficult to administer. So you know, there's certainly a plain reading of the statute that we can rely on.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Dibble, I'm not sure that it is so plain. I You have in the bill that it's not just harassment, but for actual, but also for perceived things. And one of the questions I would have is on the perception of whom? The perception of the person being harassed, or the perception of the person doing the whatever it is they're doing, or the perception of a third party? Whose perception rules if we have a policy that says that perception is something that has to be prohibited? Whose perception does that refer to? That, to me, is not clear. What is intimidation? If I am in a school and I express an opinion about, say, that I believe that marriage between men and women is the only form of marriage that should exist, and I'm talking to someone who disagrees with that, am I harassing somebody if I express that opinion assertively and insist on it? Am I harassing somebody if I express an opinion that might be objectionable to someone? Does that count as intimidation if I do that in an effective way, if I create an argument or if I get involved in a discussion with someone that doesn't like my point of view? Are those things considered intimidation or harassment? Can you instruct us on that?
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President, or Mr. Chairman. Am I to respond to Senator Hinn? He asked a question.
Nobody answered it, so you're up.
I see. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Dibble, as I've been looking at the bill, I've noticed that what we used to have, or in the present law, we have a reference to the Human Rights Act, which covers just about every group of identifiable person in our state. And the purpose of that law is to prohibit discrimination on them as a designated group of people. And I, in looking at the writing of this bill, in your bill, this seems to go beyond that definition. And I don't understand why we have to go beyond the definition of what we already have in our Human Rights Act. Could you explain to me the reasoning why we need to go beyond that?
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and excellent question again, and thank you, Senator Limmer, for asking it. Yes, well, the reason we strike just the simple reference to the Human Rights Act 363A is because for whatever reason, school
All
boards
right.
did not adopt model policies that conform to that requirement. And again, that was an attempt to address the confusion which I referenced earlier over in 121A point, or excuse me, earlier in the statute it says shall adopt a written sexual, religious, and racial harassment, et cetera, policy, and then also kind of throws in 363A. Well, what occurred was these model policies were adopted only to talk about sexual, religious, and harassment on race. And none of the other enumerated characteristics in the Human Rights Amendment were brought over into those policies that school boards adopted. So as a consequence, we had, like I said, fully 80 to 93% of the adopted policies around the state that specifically called out prohibitions of this kind of behavior on the basis of race, sex, or religion, but not against national origin, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status, etc. What's not included in the Human Rights Act are a couple of things as well, these characteristics, like physical characteristics, and we know full well that kids with certain defining specific physical characteristics receive an inordinate amount of this kind of negative attention. Like I said, what we don't prohibit, we effectively permit, and so that's the reason that we simply pulled some of those items out of the Human Rights Act to be very, very clear as we're communicating to school boards and school districts, and also made sure that we were talking about the kids who are receiving disproportionate amount of this treatment.
Okay, you can come in on 94. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Dibble, members, as I look at the writing of this in subdivision 2 of the first page, Senator Dibble, you've even scratched off the reference to our Human Rights Act, Chapter 363A, in the bill. And then, of course, the repealer on the back of 121A.0695 the school board policy that we've encouraged them to do. We've made it law that each school board shall adopt a written policy prohibiting intimidation and bullying of any and all forms. Now, I don't understand why we have to write the individual references to orientations, identities, even perceived characteristics, when I guess I thought all forms was, you know, all forms of bullying and intimidation. I don't understand why we need to rewrite law when the law was written correctly in the first place when it made reference to all forms. Now, by repealing that language, we will now have to come back here ad infinitum and continue to add references for every element of characteristic of an individual that isn't identified on this in your bill. Now, maybe that's something good to do from time to time, but I think Chapter 363A, the Human Rights Act, that's referenced in all forms, does exactly that, and it certainly reflects the intent, the legislative intent. We don't want to stand for any bullying. I think by going further, we're beginning to tiptoe toward preferential treatment and status to only the people that are isolated and identified in your bill. And I get very worried, especially as it makes reference to other provisions of the Human Rights Act, especially what's known as the Weaver Proviso.
Further discussion, Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess, members, I'm a little concerned about this, the language and the perception of it, and perhaps Senator Dibble could answer how this scenario might play out. And members, you might find it hard to believe, but my daughter takes a pretty heavy stand at her high school on global warming. And she is harassed, and she is bullied, and she is known in the high school as the global warming girl. And I think it's troubling because when you talk about perception, I think the teachers let it go on because they perceive that she's wrong, and they perceive that if people bully her enough and harass her enough that maybe she'll change her stand. And I don't see anything in this bill that keeps that kind of free speech item or free thought item able to go on in a school. And perhaps, Senator Dibble, you could answer how this might help, or the way it looks, it actually hurts her because the perception is she's wrong, so it must be okay to bully and harass at that point.
Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair, sorry, I was slightly distracted, but I do believe the question that Senator Jungbauer was worried about is a concern for a kid who has a particular belief system that's not popular, and this certainly does enumerate creed. So I think that would be one of those things that kids are often picked on for, and worse, bullied, harassed, intimidated, etc. And creed, I think, would cover that circumstance. But I just need to go back and remind folks, if you look at line 1.21, it says based on but not limited to. And that is very, very important because I believe as strongly as anyone, no kid should be subject to harassment, bullying, intimidation, or violence.
Senator Day.
Mr. Chairman, one of the questions I had is in the bill, it said the policy specific to hazing must apply to student behavior that occurs on and off school property and during and after school hours. I mean, that's more than an education bill. I mean, this we're talking about after hours and away from school property. It's a pretty all-encompassing bill that Senator Dill is approving and wants us to approve. One of the things that I find interesting, and this really, Senator Dibble, you can relax just for a couple minutes because this isn't anything really to do with you, but the question is, when we talk about things, how about adult bullying? And I'll tell you just a few stories that I have, really quick. As an older individual, when I first arrived here, I'd never been to the Capitol before. I arrived at the Capitol, and I got sworn in, and I looked around the Capitol for my office. And they said, no, you're over at the SOB. I said, well, they sure have figured me out quick. Thought, wait a minute. Why can't I be at the Capitol? I run for office. I won election. I should be at the Capitol. Now, then, so I thought, oh, okay, that one's all right. So I arrive, the first day I go into session, they put me up in the front. I said, wait a minute, why are we sitting all in the front? I want to maybe sit in the back of the bus, the middle of the bus. Oh, no, Republicans sit in the front. What? Wait a minute. That can't be right. Now, there's got to be a reason that. But anyway, you know, as we go through life, we have a whole bunch of things. I've been here and probably, and not this majority leader, but numerous other majority leaders, their trick was at 2 in the morning, just adjourn. And also, as people have been talking in front of me, we've had the microphones turned off, and the people head out the door. And it's always interesting to me because as I came to the Capitol, and I always thought, you know, things would be equal and whatever. Let me tell you what, there's adult bullying, Senator Dibble, but big deal. I can stand on the floor and talk about it. It doesn't affected me too much. But if hopefully the Democrats someday, and I know at one time it took a long time. It took me 4 years to convince Senator Moe, and thanks to Senator Moe, we all got our own legislative assistance. We used to have was two senators to every one, and the Democrats had one on one. And we finally got that accomplished. And I just, I don't know. As I was looking through your bill, and the thing that bothered me the most was when it was about students that left the building and left the premises, and they're now at home. And I just think that is just going a little bit too far.
Further discussion on Senate File 971. Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, you know, every one of our state mandates comes with good intentions, right? The good intentions of 201 people in St. Paul. But we need to be going in a different direction this year. We need to resist this temptation to be the super state school board. I mean, I know Senator Dibble comes at this with the best of intentions. But we need to leave this to our school boards, Mr. Chair. We need to leave these issues to the people who know our students and our kids best. That's our teachers. That's our principals. That's our parents involved in these schools. We should not take on this role of the super school board. This is another mandate in a year. Oh, Mr. Chair, just last week, we cut schools. The state Senate cut the budget of schools 7% across the board. So we're going to provide them less in resources and more in mandates. Some of the best work, Mr. Chair, some of the best work this session was by a group of school organizations that brought to us a list of mandates that we could repeal, over 100 mandates. That's the direction we should be going, Mr. Chair. Let's not be the school board. These issues and these problems, very real, but you're going to have a different answer and a different solution in Minneapolis than you are in Buffalo. You're going to have a different answer and a different way to handle these problems and these students in Bloomington as you are in Thief River. So members, I think this is going the wrong direction.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe just to tag on with that, prior to session, we all came up here knowing, I think the number was $4.8 billion deficit. We were all at forums and gatherings, and all of us, I suspect, Democrat and Republican, talked about mandates reform, talked about the fact that we were going to come up to session this year and get at reducing mandates. And here we are today looking at one more that we're about to pass on. I will tell you, Mr. Chair, I happened to look at my District 29 school districts last night. Every one of them, you can find their policies on the web. Every one of those have adequate policies to deal with every form of complaint, discrimination, harassment, intimidation. Call it what you want. I think, for the most part, school districts in Minnesota are fine with respect to where they are on this issue, and I don't think that we need to go forward with this bill.
All right, Senator Scheid. Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the chief author of a bill, I suppose it might have been 97 or 98 concerning hazing, I can tell you why this talks about being on or off campus of the school. Because I think they just took the anti-hazing or the hazing policy language and put it on the language that Senator Dibble had. Because we have situations in our Minnesota public high schools of, for example, senior girls hazing sophomore girls off campus at night, out in a park, out in the woods. Across this country, students have died from hazing, and you all know about college hazing and the hazing that may have gone on over the years in military academies or schools. This was a very real issue and was brought to me by students who had been victimized by hazing. And so that's why the on and off campus piece, because the hazing, very minor things might take place in during the school day, wearing a beanie or something, but the real serious stuff happened off the school grounds. You know, I just think there might, well, first of all, the language says that the commissioner, the Department of Education here, I'm thinking of, would make available to school boards, and I know the Association of School Boards, the Minnesota Association of School Boards, has provided model language for other kinds of requirements on schools. So I assume the department would work with the School Boards Association or take model language from them and get it out to our districts. They aren't going to have to spend a lot of time figuring out what kind of policy they should have, because I think our model acts that have come from the School Boards Association and the department have been very thorough and well thought out. And they are people, I understand the mandate concern, but there is no reason that any student in the state of Minnesota should be bullied or intimidated or harassed by anybody for any reason, frankly. And that we have had situations where we have had staff, whether it's licensed teaching staff or other staff, turn their head or tell a student, well, you know, you chose to do that. You chose to be like that. What can I do? You know, that's just not normal, or that's just not acceptable based on their own personal feeling about whatever the behavior or the conduct or the lifestyle. So, members, a mandate to say that no student can be intimidated or bullied is not a burden on any of us. This is easy to vote for. Please do.
Okay, I think we're getting close to a vote. Senator Moi.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I echo everything that Senator Scheid has said, and I have to tell you that when I chief authored the cyberbullying bill, which this body was saw that it was a good opportunity to put into law, and it was signed into law, and I was so proud about 3 weeks ago when my 9-year-old wolf cub came home from his pack meeting. Because I was here chairing the Judiciary Committee, I didn't get to go to the Wolfpack meeting that night. But he came home and said, "Hey, Mom, we had a den meeting tonight, and guess what? We had a speaker come in to talk to us about cyberbullying." And he was so proud. And I think that, I think I remember back then when we had the discussion, I had indicated that you know, what we're trying to do here is to create an opportunity for the grown-ups in the lives of children as an excuse and an opportunity to teach them about the behaviors that in our own homes we would not allow among siblings. So why would we not try to prohibit when children are among one another, whether it's in the classroom or on the playground or while they're on their way walking home from school? Just to finish up with another story, members, you know, my children are starting with their Little League teams this session. Opening day will be coming up in a couple of weekends. And before we can even start our first practice, I had to sign a parent conduct ethics form to regulate parent conduct at the ballpark. And I really, when I look at all of these things pulled together, it is the message that we as grown-ups are given the responsibility to send to our children. If parents are being asked to sign conduct forms so that we don't bully one another and shout things while our children are playing, we want to send them the message that you don't bully others. And so I think what this legislation is trying to do is to pull into one place all the anti-bullying legislation, current law, and new proposals that we would like to have in one place in the statutes. But it also is creating a good opportunity for all the grown-ups in the lives of our children to teach them at the most teachable moments throughout their day about not harassing people, not bullying them, in whether that's on the playground, on the internet, in the classroom, or while they're walking home from school. And so, members, I do hope that we will support Senator Dibble's bill. As a parent, I think that this is a great idea. I know that the teachers at my school see this as a positive move, and I think that they will see this as a tool that gives them an opportunity to create a teaching moment, not only in the classroom, but on the playground, during Cub Scout meetings, and at the ballpark. Thank you, members, and I hope you will support Senator Dibble.
Further discussion? Senator Dibble, renew. Senator Olson.
Mr. President, I appreciate the comments that I've been hearing both from Senator Moi and Senator Scheid. The issue is the behaviors. I think the part that I, with all due respect to Senator Dibble and the objective of this legislation, is that it appears that what is the focus is to teach about all the differences. And by identifying out groups, that's what the focus becomes on the differences. All of us have differences. We all are different. None of us is worthy of the behavior of any of these behaviors that are being that we're requiring them to have policies about. If you respect the worth of a human being, you would behave with respect toward them. Now, how do we get there? You don't get there by identifying all the differences. In fact, I think the danger of that is that it could become worse instead of better. But how do you develop in people the character and respect for another human being? You don't have to agree with everybody. You don't have to accept whatever lifestyle or what the difference in, or but it doesn't mean that you have the that you should treat another person with any disrespect.
They are a valuable human being. Now, how do you instill that in young people? That's the challenge that we have. And I would hate to see the focus shift to the differences rather than on the behavior and the fact that bullying, hazing, all of these kinds of things, they're, some of it is just, it's ridiculous. It is damaging. I'll bet you if you've experienced this in any way, shape, or form, it's a thing you never forget. It does damage your psyche. And I don't know if these policies aren't working in our schools, why are they not? And that's the question we ought to be asking and working toward changing that behavior rather than singling out differences. That's the part that I think defers the attention from the real issue. So I cannot support it in this form. I don't have objection to consolidating the various behaviors. They've got policies of all of them, and I don't know if you have to deal with them differently. They all fall in the category of behavior that is showing lack of respect for the worth of another human being.
Okay, Senator Limmer, then I think we've had quite a bit of discussion on this legislation. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to introduce the A51 amendment.
Secretary will report the Limmer A51 amendment.
Senator Limmer moves to amend Senate File 971 as follows, page 3 after line 27, insert. This is Amendment A51.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We had a fairly robust discussion on this bill. However, there are some concerns. There's concerns as we expand the reference to the target of bullying to specific behaviors in a school setting. And as Senator Day had pointed out, outside of a school setting as well. However, when one starts getting into this expansion of the definition of bullying, it also raises the question of curriculums and programs and the direction to school boards to write policies regarding it. This amendment is nothing more than the references that we already have in our human rights law regarding the subject matter of lifestyles, homosexual and bisexual, not to be treated as a curriculum item and or construed as the policy of the state of Minnesota. I'll stand for questions, and I do ask for a roll call vote, Mr. Chair.
Discussion on the amendment. Three hands for roll call. Your roll call. Senator Dibble.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chair. Well, I think this amendment is unnecessary because there's nothing in the proposed statute. The statute, members, is just simply an alignment of existing policies that we already have on the book and some clarification. There's nothing really confusing or any new mandate, Senator Michelle. It's a very simple law. And Senator Hand, it does address that we're talking about violence in all forms if you look at line 2.1. But there's nothing here that mandates any sort of curriculum that says we're doing anything more than is true today. Furthermore, I'd say this amendment goes a little farther and sends a really negative message to gay kids. You know, here it is, a Senate chamber that's going to say, put words like this in the law. You know, we're trying to address kids' issues of self-esteem and self-worth, their ability to thrive in our schools, succeed academically, and move on into productive adulthood. And as we're trying to protect them from ill treatment at the hands of their peers and lack of support from the adults, we're going to put language like this in the bill alongside it. I think we would be working directly against the kinds of things we're trying to accomplish. This is unnecessary. No curriculum is mandated. It's simply straightforward about treating kids with fairness and respect.
Secretary, Senator Limmer, discussion on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Dibble, this Senate body, maybe not all the people in the room, but this body did vote for this, and it is in law. It's part of the Human Rights Act, and it was passed in 1993. All we're doing is reflecting the very legislative intent of 1993 in this change in law that you are expanding the definition of bullying on the target crowd. I wouldn't even say expanding. I would say limiting, because in the existing law, it makes reference in all forms of all people.
Further discussion, Secretary will take the roll on the Limmer Amendment. All senators, have you voted? Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 24 ayes, 37 nays. The amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask for a roll call vote on this provision. And members, just to...
Three hands. Be a roll call. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, just to sort of, I think, recapitulate the discussion that we've had here, and the first point to remember is that in committee when we heard this bill, there was no testimony saying there is any confusion at all in the current policy and requirements and law. There is none. In fact, the testimony was that this proposed change would create confusion, would create misunderstanding, would create problems. But the current laws, current policies are very workable. And in fact, we heard testimony that not a single school district in the state has failed to comply with the law as it's written that says you have to have these policies prohibiting bullying in any form against any student. We already have the policy. Every district has it. And we did not hear any testimony the fact that they were not being enforced. Secondly, this is another mandate. As Senator Michelle pointed out, we do not need any more mandates. Part of the mandate is a requirement that the school districts develop a process for discussing the school's harassment, bullying, intimidation, hazing, and violence policy with students and school employees. So there is a required instructional piece to this that is now going to be expanded to include those very specific things that are in the bill. And I want to point out again that there is no definition anywhere in statute about what is intimidation or what is harassment. One person's free speech might be perceived by somebody else as intimidating or harassing. This is a very broad and expansive rewrite of law that can only be mischievous. And so, members, this is not needed. This is coming at a time when we don't need additional mandates. And I would urge us to not become the super school board of the state and allow local school districts working with local parents and local teachers to decide how best to deal with the kinds of behaviors that Senator Olson pointed out that we all agree are wrong. But let's not put into statute calling out specific things and leaving in question whether other things may or may not be included, and then requiring instruction on these things that may present some conflict between people's opinions and people's beliefs, religious beliefs and other beliefs. So members, again, ask for a roll call vote and urge you to vote against the Dibble bill.
Senator Dibble renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 871 be recommended to pass. Secretary will take the roll. Did you see that? Where's the calendar? I don't see it. Do I probably throw it away? Give me another. All senators having voted. Desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. There being 43 ayes, 22 nays, the motion is adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee do now rise and report.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the Committee of the Whole, as kept by the Secretary, be now adopted.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, remaining on motions, I move that we take up the Senate calendar.
We're going to wait just a second. We've got a little problem with the screen here, so before we go to the calendar.
I'll withhold that motion. Would you like to do some of those other things while we're waiting for the screen?
Revert to reports of committees.
Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was referred Senate File 1779, a bill for an act relating to appropriations, appropriating money for agriculture, the Board of Animal Health, veterans, and the military, etc. Reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended, and when so amended, the bill do pass.
Have to adopt the report, Senator Betzel. Adopt the report.
Mr. President, I move that the committee report read by the Secretary be adopted.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
How long are you going to be busy?
Motion prevails. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate File 1779.
Second reading of Senate bills.
Doing safer than 11? So you may not be able to meet them.
Does she have it? Senator Torres Ray, do you have a motion to make? Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, I move that Senate File 1797 be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Education.
Okay, a six-word description of the bill. Is this your bill, and what does it do?
Mr. President, this is the bill that I just presented in general orders, and it was progress.
Okay. Senator Stumpf.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'll hear it in education. We'll set up a committee meeting for that, and then I believe it'll have to go to Rules Committee, but then it'll come back to the floor.
Okay. On that motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. We have a author's motion at the desk.
Senator Pretner Solon moves that her name, the name of Senator Lori, be added as a co-author to Senate File 1229.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President, we will not do the calendar today. And members, the intent is to recess till later this afternoon. The Rules Committee is meeting to take up the higher ed bill. There's a provision about appointing a couple senators to some committee. The Rules Committee will process the higher ed bill and then we'll accept the committee report later this afternoon here. So that's the only purpose of the afternoon meeting in the Senate, is to accept the committee report from Rules, unless there's some other committee reports. And then tomorrow, the Finance Committee's meeting in the morning, and they think they can be done by 11:30, so we will come into session tomorrow at 11:30 and process the we'll do the calendar tomorrow, and then process the higher ed finance bill and the ag and vets finance bill. Senator, I would yield for... But I would yield for...
Senator Anderson, announcements.
Thank you. Mr. President, I just want to announce that the Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division meeting will be a little bit delayed today. We'll be starting at 2:30 with our omnibus bill.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, and would Senator Pogemiller yield? Senator Pogemiller, you noted the Rules Committee today and at least one item on the agenda. The other one I would just note, I think, ought to be on it, and frankly, it goes back to our rules, and it goes back to what we talked about a couple of months ago in terms of the quarterly report of the Senate expenditures to the Rules Committee. And I'm not sure if that's ready or not, but April 15th was one of those prescribed dates in our rules. And if that could be made ready, I think that would be good. I think for the most part, many of the committees have gone thoroughly through a lot of the agency expenditures and proposed expenditures for the next biennium, but I think it's well that we look at ours as well. So if that could be made available sometime soon, that would be in accordance with the rules.
President, the Judiciary Budget Division will meet at room 125 immediately following the session.
Mr. President, I have an announcement.
Senator Tavassoni.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, at 5:30 this afternoon, I just want to call to your attention, there's a reception and a documentary being shown at the Humanities Center. It's produced by the Minnesota Humanities Center and by the IRRRB, and it's called The Iron Range, Minnesota Building America. And you're all invited to come and share in some Iron Range hospitality and history at the Humanities Center.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senate Higher Education Committee is going to meet immediately upon adjournment. We have, are we recessing? Immediately upon recess. Today we're doing confirmations, and we will need to vote, so I do need a quorum. So members, please try to get there as soon as possible.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate recess till 2:45, and we'll have a skeleton crew here to accept the higher ed bill.
Mr. President.
So I move that we recess, skeleton crew only necessary.
Mr. President.
Till 2:45.
Mr. President.
Skeleton crew. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm just wondering, Senator Senjum had asked a question about the rules and the Senate budget, and I've not heard any answer on that, and I'm just wondering why we don't have the budget as per the rules.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Senator Hamm, sorry, we were just discussing that with Senator Senjum, and I think next week in the Rules Committee, we're going to accommodate that. And it's a rule that has not actually been being used over the years, and I'm willing to use it. I want to use it. And apparently the paperwork's not ready till next week, so we're going to do it next week.
Well, Mr. President and Senator Pogemiller, I appreciate that, although some of us fail to understand if we have a rule that's in the rules that we adopted, and it seems to me all we have to do is go and print the thing. I just am not sure why we can't follow our own rules.
Senator Pogemiller renews his motion to recess to 2:45. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands in recess.
Mr. President, I believe there's a committee report at the desk. Or an introduction at the desk.
Eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills.
Senator Cohen for the Committee on Finance introduces Senate file number 2083, a bill for an act relating to higher education, classifying data, amending post-secondary education provisions, etc.
This bill will be referred to the Rules Committee. And there's one motion to be read at the desk.
Senator Cohen moves that his name be stricken as chief author, shown as a co-author, and the name of Senator Pappas be added as chief author to Senate file number 2083.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President, I'd like to move a recess to the call of the chair, and hopefully that will be within the next 45 minutes or so after the Rules Committee.
Senate's in recess to the call of the chair.
Senator Pogemiller from the Committee on Rules and Administration, to which was referred under Joint Rule 2.03, together with the committee report thereon, Senate File 2010, Bill for an Act relating to housing, creating a pilot program to stabilize market values of residential real estate in certain areas, reports the same back with the recommendation that the report from the Committee on Health, Housing, and Family Security, shown in the Journal for April 14th, be adopted, that committee recommendation being the bill be amended, and when so amended, the bill do pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Finance. And Senator Pogemiller from the Committee on Rules and Administration, to which was referred Senate File 2083, a bill for an act relating to higher education, classifying data, etc., reports the same back with recommendation that the bill be amended as follows, and when so amended, the bill do pass.
Mr. President, I move the committee reports. Mr. President.
Adopt the committee reports.
Mr. President, I do move that the two committee reports just read be now adopted.
Okay, on the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate file 2083 be laid on the table.
On the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, just for purposes of public information, it's my intent tomorrow to move that an emergency be declared so that we could process Senate File 2083 on the floor. That's the higher ed bill. And tomorrow we will for sure process the ag bill. That's ready to go. And then my hope is that we'll be able to suspend the rules to take up the higher ed bill, Senate File 2083. Mr. President, I yield for announcements.
Without objection, Senator Vanderveer will be excused from today's session all day. Senator Murphy, all day, and Senator Coring from 12:30 to 12:40. Any announcements, Senator Pogemiller?
Mr. President, I move the Senate adjourn till Well, first, before that, I think the intent is, talking with Senator Senjum, the intent is we'll come in at 11:30. That should allow the Finance and Tax Committees to finish their work tomorrow. And then we would recess for caucus to discuss the bills that we hope to take up in the afternoon. And hopefully an hour recess, would that be enough, do you think? Hour, hour and a half, whatever is necessary.
Mr. President and Senator Pogomiller, I think an hour is adequate.
Okay. So we'll come in at 11:30, recess for caucuses to discuss those two finance bills, hopefully, and then come back and hopefully process those two bills. So I would move the Senate adjourn till Friday, April 17th, 11:30 a.m.
The two bills that we just talked about will be engrossed and on the computers tonight. Is that correct? Okay. On the motion to adjourn till tomorrow at 11:30 a.m., all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.